The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the program host, guests, and participants, and not necessarily those of KKRN Community Radio and Acorn Community Enterprises or the underwriters of this station. Welcome to KKRN Radio and Off the Shelf with Mary. I'm your host, Dr. Mary Mitchell. I'll be sharing some of my favorite old and new nonfiction books about philosophy, spiritual psychology, science, metaphysics, and ideas that apply the author's wisdom in your life. Today, we'll explore two of my favorites. One is The Power of Decision by Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, and The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. I chose these two to highlight the difference between a decision and an intention. Both present powerful examples of how our creative mind works. Both involve the philosophy of what we call metaphysics, a study in the nature of our existence, and how we consciously or unconsciously use our mind to draw experiences, people, places, and things into our life. I hope you enjoy the opening line in The Power of Decision as much as I do. The individual's ability to act unintelligently in a universe of intelligence is amazing. Did you get that? The individual's ability to act unintelligently in a universe of intelligence is amazing. Barker believes that there's an intelligent factor in each of us, and by using it correctly, we enhance our capacity for making right decisions, and thus we improve our life. He invites us to think about natural laws in the universe, like gravity, and an intelligence, call it what you will, that created it all. He believes that we're the result of an infinite mind acting with purpose. When we make decisions based on positive goals like being happy, healthy, creative, and prosperous, life responds and it just flows better. You've probably heard this before. It is done unto you as you believe. Our beliefs, our decisions, our energy, and that attracts like energy and experiences to us. I'm sure at one time or another you've made a list of goals for the next year or maybe 5 years, and if you stayed focused on that list, at some point you look back and recognize how many came true. In a metaphysical class I took years ago, students had to list their 5-year goals. My list included living along the water, a husband who loved to read and travel as much as I did, and an income more than adequate to support these goals. Looking back, it all came true in ways I would have never anticipated. Now, my husband loves to read and travel, but together our relationship encompasses so much more. He's my soulmate. A few months after we met, one evening he said to me that I met all of his goals. I asked, what were they? And he said, the list is on the refrigerator. I jumped up and immediately read it, and yeah, we're soulmates. That's why goal setting is an important decision. Otherwise, we're just taking potluck, whatever comes along. I encourage you to contemplate the goals you really, really want to manifest in your life. Feel it, believe it, and you'll live it. Barker writes that trouble begins when we introduce an unintelligent factor in our life, such as worry. Worry is an unintelligent factor, and so is fear, hate, and resentment. Over time, these negative energies birth our problems. Wouldn't we all rather have health, wealth, joy, happiness? So Barker's question is, are you expressing life intelligently? And are you happy with the results? If not, it's time to examine what you're telling yourself, because we can't go beyond our own self-accepted image. He writes, never judge yourself by what you have done, but by what you will do. You are not the past. You are the present becoming the future. Take the future into your mind today. This natural law that creates based on our thoughts and beliefs is called the law of cause and effect. Also, you've probably heard of the word karma. The energy created by our thoughts and beliefs draws like energy to us. You know, I've taught classes on this for many years, and students are often amazed how it works. For example, over a period of a couple months, a friend of mine kept telling everyone that she needed a new car, that her car was not safe, and just driving it made her nervous. It wasn't long before she was driving along and her car caught on fire, and she got out and watched it burn up. Her insurance company paid for a new car. But I wonder if instead of complaining about the car being unsafe and making her nervous, if she just focused on the feeling of driving and owning a vehicle that was safe, reliable, and practical, and let the universe return that focused energy with ease and grace instead of a very scary experience. Another friend who knew about but forgot about the law of cause and effect kept sharing with everyone that her job was so stressful. She needed a break. It wasn't long before she tripped over a cement thing in the parking lot and broke her shoulder. Now, viewed from a metaphysical point of view, we can see the connection. But most of the time, we aren't paying enough attention to what we're telling ourselves when we have an unexpected experience, and so the connection doesn't register. The interesting thing was that a couple months later, my friend continued to complain about her stressful job, and it wasn't long before she fell and broke her wrist. Finally, she changed jobs, and in looking back, she just started laughing. She said, "Tell everybody, the problem was I didn't change my story." So whether we're paying attention or not, the law of cause and effect is always in operation. Barker writes that as long as we're thinking and feeling about what we don't want, our mind continues to create our private hell on earth. Once we understand how the law works, how long will we ignore our negative mind chatter? It's time to accept that we're individually responsible for what we've been telling ourselves. So, try this. Take one problem or issue that you want to resolve and be certain that you really do want to change it. Then spend time mentally picturing yourself no longer having the problem. What does it feel like to not have a problem? Accept it. Replace it with something positive and healthy. Feel the difference and stay with that feeling for a few minutes and repeat frequently. There's no need to tell the universe specifically what you want to replace it with. Just feel it and trust that the all-knowing, infinite intelligence in the universe is responding. It's about being the guardian of our mind, paying attention to what we say, think, and feel. If it's too negative and too critical of others or ourselves, then consciously take control. Think and feel about how we want life to be. If our mind drifts back to rethinking the problem, we have to consciously stop, shift our attention to what we want, and state it in the present moment. Here is an example. Say something like this to yourself. I reaffirm my decision. I accept into my life people, places, and things that bring me happiness and love. Now that makes me smile. This works because we're not just observers of the universe. We're a vital participant here. Barker says that we're equipped to create a life experience that's right just for us. You know, we are the result of our past decisions and we'll become the result of our present decisions. So, you know, decide right now to bring more success-motivated thoughts into mind for all areas of life. Don't let indecision hold you back. The introduction in The Power of Decision is followed by chapters entitled Decide to Be Happy, Decide to Live Richly, Decide to Be Healthy, and Decide to Be Creative. Each chapter has great ideas on using positive statements that build up positive beliefs for the law to respond to. For instance, in the chapter on Decide to Be Healthy, he reveals what I frequently notice, that people give great attention to sickness and not necessarily to health. A person who wants to be healthier has to decide to be healthier. That's why a few years ago, I created a daily mantra for myself. I'm 49, healthy, wealthy, wise, safe, and happy. I say it several times a day, and it always makes me smile because I'm actually 74, but my body feels a lot younger. I'm 49, healthy, wealthy, wise, safe, and happy. So pick your own number and try it and see how it makes you feel. Or perhaps these phrases may help you. New ideas are mine. I accept them, assimilate them, circulate them, and express them. My mind is clean, fresh, and creative. I'm nourished by an inspiration, and as a result, my creativity is amazing. I live in a fascinating world. You know, I've taught many classes over the years using this book, and time after time, students discover how much better life gets by making positive and life-affirming decisions. Many thanks to you, Raymond Charles Barker. KKRN is a community radio station supported by listeners and a team of volunteers who keep everything organized and running well. You're invited to support this amazing group by sending a donation. You know, it could be $5 a month, $10 a month, $20. Send it to KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. Or look for the donate button on the website. We also love donations of cars and trucks and boats or motorcycles through the website careasy.org. And if you have any questions, hey, give us a call, 1-855-500-7433. The next book is The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. I love everything Lynn writes because she's a self-proclaimed investigative journalist. She's not a scientist. She travels the world in search of truth about how our mind and body interact with the environment. In her first book, The Field, she gathered proof that our directed thought has some sort of central participating role in creating our reality. Focusing thoughts by using the power of intention appears to produce an energy that's actually potent enough to actually change physical reality. Her work is revolutionary because it reveals that not only is the universe connected through a vast quantum energy field, but individually, our thoughts generate energy that connects with the world around us, and it can be used to improve our lives. The intention experiment is divided into three parts. First, Lynn synthesizes the evidence and scientific theory on how the energy of intention works, how it can be used, and how to optimize its effect. Second, she offers a blueprint for using intention along with a series of exercises to do so that you can prove it to yourself. That's so important. And third, you're invited to participate in a series of personal and group experiments through her website and post your results, which will be read by other intention experimenters around the world. It's very exciting. The textbook definition of intention is a purposeful plan to perform an action which will lead to a desired outcome. In my 20s, I read a number of books on the power of positive thinking, and when I was 29, I made the decision to go to college, the Ohio State University, and it was close by where I lived. Recognizing it can normally require being off work for almost 4 years to do this, I made an intention to complete my degree in 3 years and graduate with a 3.0 grade point average. I had no idea how hard that would be. Trigonometry, chemistry, physics, statistics. Oh, after the first year, I was in a constant state of exhaustion. I didn't know how. I don't know how I did it, but I graduated with a 3.1. And now I laugh and I think, what if I intended 4.0? Another personal example is 2 years ago, I decided to do some radio advertising for our church. My intention was that the ads had to be bigger than just the church. I invited Spirit's guidance, and the word peace came to mind. I thought, how am I going to create a string of radio ads on just the word peace? Well, it wasn't long before I realized I didn't have to come up with the words. There were famous people all over the world who have talked about peace. I Googled quotes on peace, and believe it or not, within a week, I had put together over 100 30-second radio ads on peace. For example, Dr. Mary bringing you a message of peace in the worlds of, let's say, John Lennon. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Courtesy of our church, check us out at www and now create a peace-filled day. In Lynn's book, her study of intention research includes studies of plants and seeds. She found evidence that every living organism appears to be in perpetual quantum communication. Yes, even plants and seeds are affected by our intention. One experimenter hooked a lie detector to a plant and then sent good and then bad intentions to it, and the detector showed the difference. The finding is that our intentions change the level of light, the level of energy that we emit, and that plants and seeds also emit. Obviously, positive intentions expand the light we emit, and negative intentions reduce it. So all living things communicate through the energy of their light emissions. A practical tool that has resulted from intention research is the power of forming a mental blueprint. Today, athletes of all types mentally rehearse their skills ahead of an event. Skiers memorize the slopes they'll swish down, visualizing how perfectly they'll take every turn. This supports their actions during the event. But Lynn writes that it's also important to set an intention for the result, to rehearse the victory. Successful competitors rehearse their feelings, their elation, and their emotions for winning, and the reaction of the crowds, and the feeling of receiving a medal and celebrating. The difference between mental and physical practice is that you can overdo physical practice, but there's no exhaustion in mentally practicing the results of your intention, the celebration. I want to leave you with some very important information. Lynn did a lot of work on intention with people around the world, and she found that most powerful results were when a group of people shared the same intention. Here's what she wrote. We've repeatedly demonstrated that the human mind has the ability to move beyond time and space, to connect with other minds, and act on matter at a distance. It's called non-locality or entanglement. Entanglement kind of feels better because it acts with matter at a distance. Once subatomic particles, such as the photons emitted by our mind, are in contact, they're forever influenced by each other. And when the particles are entangled, the actions of one will always influence the other, no matter how far apart they are. It can have selective effects on the growth of seeds, which was her original focus, but it expanded to repeated demonstrations of the mind's ability to move beyond time and space and connect non-locally by projecting our thoughts. This is why, for instance, when our prayer group prays for someone in, let's say, St. Louis, and the recipient is open to our prayers, our thoughts influence each other at a distance. Another example is when a group of people in Sydney, Australia, affected seeds sitting in a laboratory at the University of Arizona in Tucson, 8,000 miles away, just through the power of their focused thoughts. You know, it's something to really ponder. A group of people scattered around the globe produce the same effect as a group clustered in the same room. Their individual minds, all at a distance from one another, made an invisible connection that was able to collectively alter a set of seeds at a distance. Now, not only is that amazing, I find it amazing anybody ever thought of doing an experiment like that. I mean, that's amazing. This also works on water molecules. Books have been written on the power of the mind to impact water. Water has an amazing property. When closely packed together, molecules of water exhibit a collective behavior, forming what has been termed a coherent domain. In a sense, water is like a tape recorder, imprinting and carrying information, whether or not the original molecule is still there. Water has shown the capacity to retain memory of applied electromagnetic fields for hours and even days. And certain electronic resonance signals create permanent changes in the various properties of water. It's been confirmed that water molecules organize themselves to form a pattern on which wave information can be imprinted, and the imprint stays no matter if water is frozen and then thawed or vice versa. I would have never thought of that. Of the 11 experiments that Lynn was able to run, 10 had achieved successful outcomes, and all but one of them were statistically significant. In the process, the results overturned every one of their initial assumptions about how group intention works. Thinking in a group seemed to create a kind of non-local psychic intent of instant connection, where the distance between the participants no longer mattered. The size of the group didn't matter, and the distance from the target didn't have any bearing on the outcome. You know, there are a few fundamental aspects of this quantum universe, this world of the tiny, where things aren't actually things yet, but tiny clouds of probability, a potential for any one of its future selves. The scientific establishment has now accepted that in the world of the quantum, physical matter isn't solid or stable. It's not really anything yet. But what dissolves this little cloud of probability into something concrete and measurable is the involvement of an observer. Just take that in. What dissolves this little cloud of probability into something concrete and measurable is the involvement of an observer. Once scientists actually observed and measured a subatomic particle, it has collapsed into one particular identifiable state. They call this the observer effect, where somehow our conscious thoughts influence a cloud of probability into something real. The moment we look at an electron or take a measurement, we help to determine its final state. The most essential ingredient in creating our universe is the consciousness that observes it. Your consciousness that observes it. When trying to get a specific outcome through the power of our thought, we don't need critical mass. A focused and coherent group of 100 in a single room had the same effect as thousands clustered around the world and connected via the internet. Lynn's experiments got the same result whether the audience was in the same space or scattered all over the globe, but simply joined by the same intention and the same internet page. She began to realize it also worked better with a group of just 8 people occupying the same psychic space. And that resulted in her book, The Power of 8, that has been wildly popular. You know, at our center, we formed at least 8 Power of 8 groups. They met every week, and they had a common intention. And then, towards the end of the meeting, they would put one person in the middle of the circle, and that person would state their intention, and the 7 other people in the circle bought into that intention. And for the next week, all 8 focused on that intention. And when they came back together, it wasn't always the person in the circle, in the middle, that was healed or their life changed. Everyone in the circle had some effect. Well, I hope you've enjoyed hearing about the power of decision and the power of intention and how it impacts your life. And if you're not sure about it, prove it to yourself and then post the results on Lynn McTaggart's website. Consciously use this information for good in your life and the lives of everyone you love. And for those you don't love, heck, use it for their good anyway. It's actually one small step in bringing peace to the world. Now there's extra time on this show for you to enjoy my favorite music, the Lemming Shepherds and their CD, Symphony for the Senses. And I'm going to play it, and you can just enjoy it. And if you love it, order it. And it includes a full-color brochure about their adventures. So until next week, may peace be with you, and enjoy this beautiful music.